All right, we're in John chapter 8 this morning. Talk about Father God. John chapter 8, where he has some family characteristics and family resemblances. And here's a conversation about some people who think they're in the family of God, and Jesus Christ describes the characteristics of the family of God. Three things here. John chapter 8, verse 33, and I went back and forth. I didn't know what to, had several sermons and several thoughts, and landed on this one. John chapter 8, verse 33, the Bible says, they answered him, "We be Abraham's seed." That's these religious folks, Pharisees. "We be Abraham's seed." That means we were born right. We're born in the right line. We got the right family. We're right. "We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever." That's Jesus Christ. "If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I know that you're Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my father, and ye do that which you have seen with your father." They answered and said unto him, "Abraham is our father." Jesus saith unto them, "If ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God, this did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father." Then said they unto him, "We be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God." Jesus said unto them, "If God were your father, ye would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. You're of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you'll do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is the liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because you're not of God." There are three characteristics that are mentioned here that Jesus Christ puts forth to these religious folks who say they were born right. You know, they got the right heritage. They got the right family. They came from Abraham. And physically, they came from Abraham. That's true. Lord acknowledges that. But your first birth, their first birth, ends in death, just like everybody's first birth ends in death. And so your first birth maybe matters for some things, but it doesn't matter for eternal life. And so the Lord is trying to get them to understand, or at least going back and forth with them, that there are certain characteristics spiritually of the family of God, and there are certain characteristics of the devil's family. He says the reason you talk the way you do and the reason you act the way you do is not because you're from God, but because your father is the devil. That sounds harsh or whatever, but I mean, if you're wanting to kill a man who's innocent, You've got some problems. I mean, that's an issue. And so to say that someone is devilish in that desire, that's not so far-fetched. So you don't have to get so critical of Jesus Christ. He's pointing out something probably pretty obvious. You're devilish in that you have these devilish desires. And he gives three things. He says, look, if you were of God, if God were your father, and the truth is, if God's not your father, you're not saved. You get saved by becoming a child of God by faith in Jesus Christ. And then there's some characteristics to that. And just like you've got some family resemblances, somebody might say, oh, well, he has his mom's whatever, or she has her dad's mustache or something like that. I don't know. You get the idea. There's some family resemblance. You got the same eyes as mom, or got the same hair as dad, or something like that. Physically, these genes get passed down. Same thing's true spiritually. There are characteristics that get passed down to God's children. And God's children are characterized by three things in what we read. Number one, they're not the servant of sin anymore. Their liberty. They have freedom. Number two, he said, if God were your father, you would love me. You would love me. And we'll talk about that. Number three, if you had God as your father, you would hear me. You would listen to what I'm saying. But you don't hear what I'm saying because you're not of God. And so, those three characteristics, and I hope this morning, I know it's Father's Day and that's good and all that, but I hope this morning you get an opportunity to sort of take the scriptures and make an application to your own life, hold them up to what you think is Christianity. And actually read what Jesus Christ describes as Christianity. And so let's do that. Let's go through these things, because you're dealing with in these passages people who think they're good. That's who the Lord Jesus Christ is dealing with. People who are religious and believe they're okay. And they may believe they're okay because these guys were born the right way. Maybe they think they're okay because they think the right religion, or they think they're okay because, you know, nobody's that bad, or they think they're okay because, you know, things just aren't as bad as they seem, or they think they're okay because, you know, there's not really heaven or hell, or whatever the thoughts are. The reality is, whatever Jesus Christ says, his opinion is reality. His opinion, his thoughts are real. And so, he's dealing with people who think they're good, these people in church. And he says these three characteristics are characteristics of God's family. And then he talks about the devil's family a little bit, but ultimately God's family. The first one is this. He says in verse 35 or 36, if the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Meaning you are no longer, if you're saved, you are no longer a slave, a servant of sin. So the excuse, I couldn't help it, or you know, I just it's just, you know, part of me or whatever, those don't exist anymore. In Jesus Christ, you are, and not to I say that. Don't you want to be free? As I say that, I think some people don't want to be free. They want to have an excuse for their behavior. They don't want to be free. So that may be a battle you got to get over. But in Jesus Christ, you're no longer the servant of sin. He said, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And victory over sin is and can be a present day reality. I mean, you don't have to serve sin anymore. And that's good news. That ought to be good news. It ought to be helpful. It ought to be a blessing. You don't have to serve sin anymore, but maybe you love sin. That's kind of the characteristic of sin, too. People love sin, and they love what they're doing in it. But victory over sin is a present-day reality. Eventually, that sin's going to drag you into hell, and you'll be judged for it. You'll be judged for sin. But victory in Jesus Christ, freedom in Jesus Christ, there's liberty. The children of God are free. They're free from sin. They're free from bondage of sin. If the Son hath made you free, he said, you're free indeed. You're more than conquerors, is what Paul said. More than conquerors. What does that mean? That means there's the victory of hope when others don't have hope. That means there's a victory of peace when others don't have peace. It means there's victory over sin where others are bound by sin. That means there's victory in long suffering and when others are running out of patience. It's victory of charity when other people are getting bitter and angry and hateful. Charity, I mean, it's a victory. These things are living spiritual life, or life that is, you don't have to be bound by bitterness and hatred and anger and frustration and covetousness and all these other things, lust and all these other things. There's victory in Jesus Christ, victory of the love of God when you're not accepted by the world. You know what, people in general, and I think younger folks maybe more so, but being accepted is a big deal. It's a big deal. People want to be accepted. They want to be accepted by somebody they respect. They want to be accepted by children. Here's what people, I think children want to be accepted by their fathers. They want to know there's acceptance there. You know what, in Jesus Christ, there's acceptance. There's acceptance in the family of God. More than conquerors. Just understand, the world will accept you as long as it can benefit from you. And I don't want to be so cynical. There are people that do good things and all that kind of stuff. But eventually, all that stuff sort of runs out. There is liberty in Jesus Christ. Not servant of sin, but free. These men say, hey, we're not in bondage to anybody. Yet they're living under Roman rule. They pay taxes to Rome. They are certainly not only in bondage nationally, they are in bondage physically. Because they're all going to die at some point. Liberty, freedom in Jesus Christ. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Why do I say all this? Number one, because this is the characteristics, one of the characteristics that Jesus Christ says is a characteristic of a child of God. They're free. Liberty. Free from sin. Free from all those things we mentioned there. There's liberty there. Number two, this is going to go faster than I thought it was going to go. Y'all be so happy. Number two, he says this, verse 37. Well, let's just skip down. Verse 42. Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, ye would love me. That's just the way it goes. If you have God as your Father, you love Jesus Christ. That's the condition. That's the statement. For I proceeded, he said, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. There's godly affection there. You love your family, don't you? Well, that's what he's saying. If we were family, you would love me. If you and I were family, you would love me. The reason you don't love me is because you and I aren't family. I mean, to break it down, basically, you love your family, you understand that love. That's what he's saying. If you were in my family, you would love me. Now think about this. Think about it in your own life. It's obvious to say you should love God. That's an obvious thing. God tells you how to love. He tells you what love is. Love can be measured in sacrifice. That's love. And maybe you could say there's feelings associated with love, and there are, but the measurement of love is sacrifice. That's if you were to put a measuring tape to it, that's what it looks like. And he says, no greater love hath this than a man lay down his life for his friends. That's the ultimate sacrifice. You just gave your whole life. That's the full measure of love. You gave everything you could give. That's Jesus Christ laying down his life for sinners. He said, if God were your Father, you would love me. So love does some things. Love is, it has feelings associated with it, but it's defined by sacrifice. So here's the question. Here's the question for us this morning. If love is sacrifice, love is commitment, how have you loved Jesus Christ today? How did you love Jesus Christ this week? What is the measure of it? Where was it displayed? And I'm asking that because you would expect me to get up here and say, love God, with no instruction or no clarity on what that love is. But God's very clear that love is actually, it's emotion, it's a sacrifice, it's a commitment, it's a devotion. So the question is for, maybe you say, I don't love Jesus Christ. That would be, maybe that's an honest way of saying it. That would be good if you said that, if that was true. But if you say you love Jesus Christ, how have you loved Jesus Christ? With what measure? What is it that this week, that yesterday, that 2 weeks ago, that this month, you've actually loved Jesus Christ? And the reason I put it this way is because people who are married and you love your family, you love your kids, you love your spouse, husbands, wives, all that kind of thing. And that love has some sort of display of affection somewhere. And if it doesn't, you know what the relationship is? It's nothing. There is no relationship. It's just people saying they're married or whatever they're saying about the relationship. Point is, you understand in these things physically. You understand that love has some activity to it. It has some motion to it. It has some sacrifice. It has some giving. It has some understanding. It has some promotion. You know, I want the best for this person. And yet when we bring that over to spiritual matters, we say things like, I love God, and it doesn't mean anything, really. It just means I maybe came to church or something, which is good, that's good. To be in church, that's good. But it doesn't have any other expression. I mean, if that's all you did with the people you loved, you just showed up once a week and sat down for an hour with them and then left. That's, I don't know. I mean, if you could do more than that, it'd be good to do more than that. The point is, you understand these things on a physical level, on a familial level. And the Lord's saying, look, if you loved me, or put it this way, if God were actually your Father, you would love me. I say it slow because you got to understand what he's saying. Because we'll find our way out of these things. Well, you know, that's sort of this and that, and we got our own way of doing it. And no, he said, if God were your Father, here's the conditions. Here's the characteristics of my family. My family loves each other. And if God were your Father, you would love me because I would be in your family. And you would be in my family. Love love of Jesus Christ is a characteristic of having God as your Father. It's a good question, though. How are you loving? How do you plan on loving Jesus Christ today? Is there a plan? Is there a plan to love Jesus Christ this week? Is there a plan to how did you do it last week? How did you do it last month? There's activity with this. Love. And you know there is, because you wouldn't treat your own family that way. So, some of us, you would never treat your own family the way you treat Jesus Christ. You'd never do that. Love. Love of Jesus Christ is a characteristic. Liberty from sin is a characteristic. And then this. We're going to be out of here by 12. This is going to be so great. Now that I said that, just it'll be another hour. Number three. So you got liberty. If the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Liberty. That's a characteristic of God's children. Loving Jesus Christ. That's a characteristic of God's children. It's not an option. It's just a characteristic. This is just the way the children act. They love Jesus Christ. Number three, listening. Verse 43, he says, "Why do you not understand my speech?" And he's not really asking them a question. He's just putting the question out there so you can answer the question. "Even because you cannot hear my word. You're of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do." What does that mean? You listen to a father. You have a father you listen to. It's just not God the Father. "He was a murderer from the beginning, abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? If I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God," here it is. Here's the third characteristic. "He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because you are not of God." See that? Love, listening, liberty. Here's listening. The reason you don't listen to God is because God's not your father. The reason you don't hear the scriptures is because God's not your father. The reason you don't have time for the words of God is because God's not your father. If God were your father, you would listen to him. You have a father that you listen to. That just happens to be the devil with these folks. And you do what he says to do, but you're not God's children because you don't listen to God's words, yet you say you do. That's the religious crowd. We're God's children. No, we're all God's children. And the Lord's clarifying, look, no. The characteristics of my family are, number one, they're free from sin at liberty. Number two, they love Jesus Christ. They love me. Love Jesus Christ. Number three, they listen to God. They listen to the scriptures. How do you listen to God? You got the scriptures here. That's how you listen to God. Jesus Christ said it this way. He says, "My sheep hear my voice. My sheep hear my voice and know me." That's a characteristic of the family. They hear my voice. And so if you've got some, I don't know, if you got some reasons why you don't hear his voice, you know, we're distracted, we got all this other stuff going on and all things happening. Oh, if you're part of the family, you listen to God the Father. He's your father. And he's not your father if you're not listening to him. He said, "Listen, he that is of God heareth God's words. Your problem is, ye therefore hear them not, because you're not of God." It was really simple. If you were of God, you would hear me. You would hear God. You'd hear what I'm saying. I came from God. But the reason you can't and the reason you won't is because you're not of God. Now, how's that a test for Christianity? That's Jesus Christ's words. Paul said it this way. He talked about in 1 Thessalonians, when they receive the words of God, they receive them not as the words of men, but as in truth they are the words of God. That's how people received them that are in the family of God. They were glad to have the words of God. I'll never forget. I know I've told you all this, maybe even shown you the video. You all have seen the video of these Chinese Christians. I think it was in China. It is incredible. And they had pieces of the Bible. They didn't have the whole thing. They just had pieces. And through some missionary efforts, there were pallets of Bibles that were smuggled in, taken in. You know, it's illegal, or it was illegal, or however it was working at the time. And these pallets of Bibles were coming into this underground, this church, it was kind of meeting in a cellar of a place. And these folks, it may not have been China, it may have been North Korea or something, but these Bibles came in these boxes, and they were just these Christians, these Korean, I don't remember, but these Christians were just bawling and crying and tearing open these boxes and getting to these Bibles because they were so excited to have the words of God. And there are more Bibles in this town than in some countries in the world. And you can't find people interested enough in a Bible to make a difference, but everybody's saved. Everybody's a Christian, but nobody cares about the words of God. Jesus Christ says, no. Let me clarify this. If you were of my family and God were your father, you would listen to the words of God. If you were of my family and God were your father, you would love me. If you were of my family and God were your father, you would be free from sin. You would stop making excuses. You would be free from it. He that is of God heareth God's words. Jesus says to these religious people who they hate him so much. You have a father that you listen to. That father just happens to not be God. It happens to be the devil. He was a murderer. He hated me. He hates me. And so do you. You hate me too. Talking to these religious folks. You know, having the words of God and hearing the words of God, you know, are different things. You know they're different things. Paul said of Israel, in quoting an Old Testament verse, I think in Isaiah, he said of Israel, he said, "The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth." Meaning you stand up every Sabbath and you open scriptures that talk about Jesus Christ and you preach and from these scriptures every Sabbath. And when Jesus Christ showed up, you couldn't tell that it was the man that was talked about in the scriptures. The word is nigh thee. You are even speaking the words without understanding the words. Talking to Israel. So having the words of God, that's different than hearing the words of God. Israel had the words of God. Jesus said to them one time, he said, "You have made the word of God of none effect by your traditions." Whether you know what? Whether that is religious traditions, whether that is medical traditions, whether that is financial traditions, you can make the word of God of none effect with a lot of different traditions. You don't have to just be religious. Educational traditions, and then you come to the word of God. Well, that's not really how that goes. Someday we'll all realize how that goes when Jesus Christ returns and sorts the whole thing out. What's the last thing? What's the last thing you heard God say? But better yet, what's the last thing you heard God say that you did? We come here every Sunday, every Wednesday. Hopefully you hear from the words of God. Hearing from the words of God is good. Or I should say having the words of God, that's one thing. Hearing, listening to the words of God, that's something different. And seriously, think about it. What is the last thing you heard from God? And what is the last thing that you heard God say to you that you actually did? Well, you know, 50 years ago, I prayed prayer or whatever. No. If you are God's child, you hear God speak, and you follow the Lord. That's Christianity. Jesus Christ says, the problem is you don't hear God's words because you're not of God. Three things, three characteristics about God's family. Just like we said, just you understand it physically. You know, hey, she has, her mom's this, he has eyes and the hair's like mom and all that kind of stuff, you know. Just like there are physical characteristics, there are spiritual characteristics. The Lord says, my children, God's children, my family, they are at liberty. They're free from sin. Number two, they love me. Why? Because I'm family, and I love my family, and they love me. Number three, they listen to the words of God. Those are the characteristics. They're spiritual characteristics, but it's just like having brown hair or blue eyes or whatever. It's just characteristics of the family. This is just what the family looks like. This is how they are. And remember, if you came in here, and this is the crowd the Lord's dealing with. He's not dealing with people outside of church. He's dealing with people who came to church. These are people who are religious leaders saying, yeah, we're good with God. You know, we were born of Abraham, and we got all the right genetics, and you know, we're okay. We're righteous. We're doing good. How do you say that when you want to kill an innocent man? How do you say you're doing good with God? What kind of deception? And it takes the Lord Jesus Christ to record these things and say these things so you get a real view of yourself. And that's us. I mean, you need the scriptures to give you a real view of yourself. I'm sure these religious guys, I'll wrap it up here, but I'm sure these religious guys didn't think one bad thought about the fact, they obviously didn't, about the fact that they wanted to kill an innocent man. Here they are wanting to kill an innocent man, trying to set him up, and all the while claiming they are the righteous ones. They are the ones on the side of God. They are the ones doing God's work. Look, if your religion leads to evil, you got the wrong religion. There are some real simple phrases in the Bible. For instance, in 3 John, it says something like, do good and not evil. It's like, if your religion led you to commit murder of an innocent man, whatever path you're on, you need to reassess that path. I'll say this. This is for us, because we're all here. I can say stuff that's for out there, but it wouldn't matter. We're here. Do good, not evil. Got that thought? There are countless, probably, churches in the United States of people who said, not only they believe the Bible, they believe the King James Bible. And they sat in church, and they fought, and they bit each other to death until there was nothing left, all the while taking a stand on a Bible. You know what that tells me? There's more to it. If your religion leads you to do evil, whatever you think you're standing on, whatever you think you're doing, you need to reassess that. If you can all the while take a stand on we're Bible believing, all the while you destroy other people's lives, you aren't any more Bible believing than the devil. Here's the characteristics of God's children. And he's dealing with people who want to kill him, who claim to be Bible believing people. And the Lord says, look, you're not God's children. What you are is children of the devil. Here's God's children. They're free from sin. They love Jesus Christ, and they listen to God. That's what makes and characterizes God's children. Not this stand you say you have. We stand on the Bible. Show me you stand on the Bible. Show me where that is in your life. Just like he's calling out these religious people, show me where it is. Show me where this is in your life. How's that apply to us? Well, we can say we stand on whatever we want to say we stand on. You know what Jesus Christ says? Show me where you stand. Show me. Act it out. It's love. It's listening. It's liberty from sin. So it's Happy Father's Day. There you go. Happy Father's Day. I didn't mean for it to go that way, but you know what? That's what you're reading about. People who stand on a Bible and bite and devour each other and hate each other. You're ridiculous. You don't stand on a Bible. You use the Bible to promote yourself is what you've done. You use whatever you say you're standing on to gain a leg up on other people. That's all you're doing. That's the people Jesus Christ is dealing with, and that's what he says to them. You're no more of God than the devil. If you were of God, you would love Jesus Christ, you would listen to God, and you would have liberty from sin. Those are the characteristics. Those are the characteristics. And we got 5 minutes till 12 o'clock, and I'm going to let you go. Father, thank you so much for this time together. I pray it's been helpful. I pray that... I pray...